Sentire Media.
Ciao a tutti and welcome to Venice Talks, a podcast series dedicated to Venice in Italy. I'm your host, Monica Cesarato, a Venetian food and travel blogger. Join me as I share my insider knowledge to help you explore Venice at 360 degrees. In this weekly podcast, we'll dive into the heart of the city, uncovering hidden stories and connecting with the people who make Venice unique. The artisans, the writers, the fashion designers, the bloggers, the journalists, and more. Let's break free from cliché and discover the true essence of Venice, not just the monuments, but the vibrant people, the Venetians. Experience Venice the right sustainable way. You can find me on my blog at www.monicacesarato.com and across all social media platforms. Enjoy the episode and let's journey through Venice together. Welcome back to Venice Talks, Season 2, Episode number 10. Hi everybody and welcome back to Venice Talks. Today I have a very special guest. I have with me Anna Rita Panebianco from Caffè Florian. Hi Anna Rita, how are you?
Hi, nice to meet you. Fine, excellent.
So usually I always ask my guests to introduce the company they work for, but I don't think that Caffè Florian needs any introduction. But can you tell us briefly the history of the Caffè Florian and why it has become a point of reference in Venice?
It's a pleasure, of course. Caffè Florian, we call it, and has been open in 1720 in San Marco Square. And we name it Florian because mm-hmm. the founder, Floriano Francesconi, opened it in 1720. It was the 29th of December. And he was one of many other entrepreneurs at that time. And if we nowadays call the place Florian, naming his name, mm-hmm. it's because it was a very special person. Mm-hmm. I mean, Caffè Florian founded in, it means 304 years, mm-hmm. which is quite a while. And the place, the venue survived to high tide, wars, and crusade, and so on. It has mm-hmm. been part of the history of Venice. Mm-hmm.
This is it's the oldest cafe in the world, isn't it?
It is, mm-hmm. because it has opened as a coffee house mm-hmm. and crossed the time as a coffee house. So today, still serving coffee. Mm-hmm. And it's at the same time a museum. Yes. I mean, it has been preserved in its furniture. So it's part, really every details mm-hmm. tell us about the history of the town. Mm-hmm. The point is that other places, consider that when coffee arrived in Venice, mm-hmm. it was the 17th century, other places opened earlier, and in Europe as well, but they do not exist anymore nowadays.
Yes.
So the point, the very important, let's say, what the place mm-hmm. has conquered is a place in the history. It stays there. You know, we work for Caffè Florian, but mm-hmm. we are conscious that we are part of this journey, a yes. short journey that is our life. Mm-hmm. And it's including this long history of Caffè Florian. The place will survive. We want, because we are human being. And so really it's a point, it's how would you say? Un punto di riferimento. Yeah, yeah.
It's a point of reference. That's what's important, I think, about the Caffè Florian. And by the way, I love it because I always thought I was pronouncing it wrong because I hear other people pronounce it in a different way. And I realized I was pronouncing it right. So I'm very happy.
Mm-hmm. Florian. It sounds French.
Yeah, because because a lot of people pronounce it Florian. And I go, are you sure it's Florian? But even some Venetian have heard them pronounce, maybe not the Venetian, maybe people that live in Venice and not Venetian mm-hmm. pronounce it that way. But that's what's important about Caffè Florian, that it's not just, you know, in the collective mind, you always see the tourists sitting outside, having the drink, having their coffee, their aperitif with music and so on. But there's loads and loads and loads of locals that actually come and just
Yes.
have a quick drink, say hi, have a quick look on the mag, on the newspaper, the newspaper, and then walk out. So it is part
It's
of it.
interesting.
It's part of a daily life for Venetians, isn't it?
It is. It's part of a rite, of a routine.
So are there any particular historical anecdotes regarding the cafe that make it unique?
Yeah, I mean, you have tourists, but you have Venetian coming, and it's the role it had in the history is to be a hub, to be a potpourri. When this cafe opened, consider that the meeting, the brainstorming, something unseen. I mean, people used to meet in the literary saloon of very aristocrats and enlightened women, but it was just for the aristocrat. Coffee house. This coffee house opened. People meet and consider it during the carnival with a mask and masquerade, the role, the social role. You could pretend to be a rich man. And in this place, it was a public. There was a the meeting, the social right of the meeting around the coffee cup was democratized. So everybody was a place open to everybody. So you could meet the Conte Gasparo Gozzi selling his Gazzetta Veneta because he used to be there at Café Florian and gather news to publish on this absolutely brand new newspaper, Gazzetta Veneta. And like nowadays, you can meet the mayor of the town and the very simple citizens. So it's a hub, really. If you like to know what happens in Venice, you go there, you just stay there, and you can listen. You can observe the world going round like a Babele and listen all the different languages and Venetian dialect. It's all together. It's really, it's like being, you stay there and the world comes to you. It's
It's true.
impressive.
It's true. And what I really like about Cafe Floriani is the buzzing. I mean, wherever you walk in, it's just buzzing. It's like Ibiza. So you have all your waiters, all your maitres, all your barmen running around, but in a very, I mean, it looks chaotic, but at the same time, they're dancing, I got to say, because I always see them going. I know, they're like, because, you know, the cafe is quite big, but at the same time, it's small, as in it's as big as in you know, how many rooms have you got? Three or four? I can never
they
remember.
Are I mean the small one, the three small one, you can see the jewels, I would say, which is Sala Senato, Sala Cinese, and Sala Orientale. They
Okay,
are the two orient and the three small, and then the two long one, which is Sala Uomini Illustri, so Illustrious Men's, and Season, Sala Stagioni, and then the small one hidden, which is the Liberty, Art Nouveau style, Sala Liberty, appunto.
Oh, I don't think I've ever seen that one.
Oh, it's a secret room. I love it. It's my favorite one. You know,
okay.
You have,
it's not so
you
secret
have,
anymore.
I have my secret room. It's a hidden room.
I didn't
so there
know
is no
this.
Window facing on the square.
Okay.
And it's the recent one. I mean, it was opened in 1920. So Art Nouveau.
Okay, yeah, very recent.
Very recent.
100 years ago, I like that.
But then but you consider that then when Floriano, oh, I just wanted, just Monica, to tell you, the Floriano is in Italian. So Floriano Francesconi is the name of the founder, the owner. But then in Venetian dialect, Floriano. Demo da Floriano, they used to say, Demo da Floriano. Let's go to Floriano. So I know my friend, they call the place Florian in Italian.
Yes.
But we love, you know, we prefer Florian.
Good. So for everybody out there, if when you go there and you want to show off and also show off because you have, we heard it on Monica's podcast, you say it's Cafe Florian. Florian.
Florian.
Florian. okay, so we were talking about the rooms.
Yes.
What makes Café Florian so particular? What are the distinctive elements of the furnishing and its internal architecture? I mean, I know it because it's one of my favorite places to take photos of because it's amazing. But let's describe it for the people who haven't been yet.
Let's say that Café Florian exudes mystery. What we observe nowadays, it's the restoration. The restoration was made in 1858. So Floriano Francesconi opens it, and it's a very simple, very, very simple place. They serve coffee. He used to serve coffee, but it wasn't so opulent and rich. When he died, and then the society, the owners changed, they really wanted to give a message. It was like a marketing operation, you know? And they in charge.
Anna Rita, in typical Venetian style.
Yeah,
because the Venetians were going
si.
At marketing and propaganda.
So they really wanted to make, to have a wow effect. And they, the architect Ludovico Cadorin was in charge of the restoration. And as you said, I mean, this Rococo style, it's very rich. The gilded decoration, and Ludovico Cadorin was a genius. Now, if you observe the table, the original Carrara marble, rotating, so they are fixed into the floor, but the upper part rotate.
I didn't know this.
It's amazing. I mean, it's a piece of design.
Okay,
because. Imagine 19th century women used to dress with larger skirts and
of course.
Crinoline.
Of course.
So the upper part, the table rotate so they could comfortably and easily sit
That's it.
down.
I'm sorry.
And once set down,
yeah,
you could turn it again.
Okay, next time I'm going, I'm gonna
demand
this treatment.
Yes.
because I'm always
and then
in.
I mean, it's a piece of design. It was 1858. And then he used the Carrara marble to make vertical decoration, which was unseen at that stage. I mean, at that age, it wasn't. Marble is heavy. So he had this.
It's heavy and expensive. It was expensive even 200 years ago. So, you know.
Yeah. And I tell you, when the sun comes up early in the morning, when it's still closed, and the first ray of the square, then you see this, it's like it's transparent, you can see a bit of the light coming from outside. It's a beautiful feeling. I mean, Café Florian, it's rich in these small details.
Listen, Anna Rita, would you say also that the marble on the wall helps the place to stay cooler, considering the hot summers in Venice?
Let's say in this case, Ludovico Cadorin used the marble for the table and for the door, just for vertical decoration of the doors.
Ah, okay.
Whereas inside we have this typical color, which is the red, Florian red, we call it. And the sofa and the chairs, and it's all original, you know, the furniture has been preserved.
Oh, okay. Didn't really. I thought it was.
Yeah.
Okay. I didn't know that. Okay. Even more.
Oh yes, so you have the this velvet which is red, and you sit on this velvet inside. So let and it's original again, 1858. This parquet, so it's a wooden floor. And I tell you, during the height in 2019, we used to be there with boots, gathering pieces of this original wooden parquet floor.
Yeah.
Floating around.
That must have broke everybody's heart. Oh my god, I know it was a terrible time for everybody, but oh my god, you probably also, because St. Mark's Square, it was the first one, the first part of Venice to go really, really under. Oh, mamma mia.
So you have to keep, I mean, you have to take care of this place because you have to restore,
of course,
and to, you know, it's very important because every day we have so many people visiting.
Of course.
So it's an historical monument, but still living, still serving coffee, and it has to be up to date, you know. But then you have to be very careful not to ruin, and you have to restore. And even when you restore it, then it becomes a high priority to destroy everything.
Yeah, of course, of course, of course. Yeah.
But then again, it's all the wooden And the gilded decoration, and then you have the beautiful decoration on all the walls. If you observe, every single room has got a theme.
Yes.
And Ludovico Cadorin wanted some students of the Fine Art Academy of Venice, which are now famous, but at that point they were students. And every student had a room to decorate. So Giacomo Casa had the Senato room, and you
Okay.
recognize it because it has got this angel of progress and all some of the Masonic symbolism, which is cryptical. And on the other side, we have the Chinaman room and the Oriental room with the odalisque, this young lady smoking cigar and with part of the body unveiled. The atmosphere is the same that we can find in Lord Byron works, you know, this Oriental world, but observe with the Western eyes, let's say. And exactly as in Venice, Café Florian is a fusion of the Byzantine and Oriental
Yes.
influences. Consider the coffee comes from Istanbul. I mean, in
Yeah, of
Istanbul,
course.
the ambassador of Venice observed this custom. They had to gather together around a cup of coffee. And then the coffee was introduced in Venice because of the port of the harbor. So
Of
there was a
course, of course.
trade, and it was very expensive to start with, but it was a revolution. It was not just this bevanda negra, they call it, this black beverage introduced during the Enlightenment century, whereas people used to drink aquavite. This beverage was introduced, coffee enlightened, awakened the mind.
Yes.
In fact, they it was appreciated, not to start with, but then very appreciated, very expensive. And the let's say that it was a revolution because in a public place people could meet and talk about the Enlightenment ideas. It was, you know, a challenge to the old aristocrats and religious
Of course. And then
values.
there was introduction of sugar, and that helped get
Yes.
the coffee even more appreciated because it wasn't bitter
Yeah.
anymore. So that
Yeah.
made it even
Yeah,
better.
like chocolate. Chocolate
Yeah,
indeed
of course.
arrived in Venice. You know, Venice was the place where you could have this
Absolutely.
exotic drink, but the French
Absolutely.
interpreted and made Venetian. Venice introduced, Venice was dominante. You know that Floriano called his coffee house Alla Venezia Trionfante in 1720.
Okay.
So
The
it had a
Triumph
different
on
name.
Venice. The Triumph on Venice.
So in a homage to Venice, because Venice was dominant and triumphant all over the sea, they
Of course.
created this mode, this trade
Of course.
pattern on the sea.
Of
And the
course.
Oriental habit, for example, the coffee, came in. So Venice was outgoing, discovering the world. The world came in, and this made Venetian this impact coming from outside, which is from a point of view of the culture we have, quite interesting because Venice culture is a fusion,
Yes,
like
is
in the
multi
cooking, the
is a
spice is
multi-ethnical.
multi-ethical, which is what. And so sorry, Monica, we were talking about oh, the
No, that's
furniture.
okay. No, we're going forward. We're going forward. Don't worry. Don't worry. We
The
go. We
furniture is
yes.
an experience. When you say, shall we
Oh,
go
and the
to
mirrors.
Café Florian? Yes.
Wait, Anna Rita. What about the mirrors?
See, the mirrors. Now, observe the mirrors, they are original. So when we restore, for example, the mirrors, you have to keep the sign of the time. So you don't see a brand new mirror or a
No.
spick span, you know.
Yeah,
You
yeah.
see the sign of the time. You
Of
just
course.
preserve it from humidity and other
Of course.
damages,
And
but then
also,
we leave the sign of the time.
let's remember the Venetian mirrors, thanks to Murano, were known all over the world. So, listen, let's go back to today. How would you describe the typical customer experience? How do you what do you do to try to offer a unique experience in a day in an era where customer experience now is so important?
Today we say, so I talk about myself. First time I visited Café Florian, I felt quite a particular energy. I was amazed. I was mesmerized. I was, you know, and
are you
working.
Venetian, or are you Venetian, or you're from outside?
I was born in Apulia.
Oh, okay.
Okay.
So,
And I came
okay,
to
okay.
Venice.
Say you are a foresta.
Sono foresta.
It's a forest. In Venetian, we say foresta for people from outside of Venice. We say foresti for people like me that come from the countryside.
Exactly.
And so, but yes, okay. But
if
she's from the
from
south.
Mestre, you're a foresta.
Yeah. I'm a foresta. Yeah, absolutely. But then, if you think about it, foresta comes from the word of foresta, as in you know,
in
forest,
Latin.
Because it was from the mountains and the woods.
Yes,
let's
yes.
say, yeah. Okay, sorry.
And now
stop.
The Biennale also, the Biennale is dedicated to what is from
Oh yeah, we
outside,
see what
what's
it's gonna
inside,
be.
outside, and we
Exactly.
are always foresti for somebody else. But
Absolutely.
the good apps, I mean, in Venice, you are foresto, but you are adopted by this town, you know, because
Absolutely.
yeah.
So back to your first experience. So you walked
no,
in.
I came to study Oriental languages, and
Oh,
I visited
okay.
Café Florian, and my first visit, I still remember it. And working there, I noticed that people coming in, they have this wow effect, and they come with this, I mean, the feedback I get of this good positive vibes, because they are it's immersive. It's an immersive experience, we would say nowadays.
Yes.
It's immersive because the furniture being surrounded by the beauty helps you in this kind of sensory journey. And then you have, of course, the service and this beautiful waiter, and the service that has remained the same. We call it servizio a vassoio.
Yes,
So you
with a
see
silver
that.
platen, yes.
Okay, and you don't have cups on your table. You have this tray, silver tray, that's served by the waiter. It's very heavy, and it's served with a very elegant way. It looks light, but it's very, very heavy. And so what makes the visit special is that you can observe this beauty. You can be there. You can be served something. It's very special, sometimes typical of Café Florian. We do. We have this zabaione, per esempio, with
I
cheese, eggs.
I know, I know. I
Okay.
tried it a couple of weeks ago. It was like, oh, I like this. I
Okay.
like this.
And, if you observe the way they prepare it, it's like the ancient way to prepare hot chocolate for the Maya civilization. They use this tool to create a froth, you know. And it's the old way to prepare it. And then we have a particular chocolate. We have
You gone.
We
I lost you.
We choose. Sorry.
I lost you for a second.
Oh, sorry.
Yeah,
so
you were
we
talking
have
about the chocolate.
Chocolate or coffee. We have 100% coffee, 100% and 20% Robusta coffee, which is our choice, of course. So it's selected and produced. It's a special production for Café Florian and also
Like
chocolate.
Most of your product, because I was there a couple of weeks ago, I was talking to some of your staff. I was telling most of your product, if not all of it, but let's say most of the product that you actually sell as well, if people want to take back like a memoir, some souvenirs, instead of taking those horrible Chinese made stuff, they can bring back something from you, and you go, and it's all made for you, for your brand and everything. And it's most of the same, I think, local or anyway, let's say made in Italy, let's say most of it.
And we also have branded items like I mean, with lifestyle, like having your tableware, your coffee cup by Florian, taking them home with Florian coffee.
I had a beautiful bag.
You know,
You had
to
a
leave
you
your
had a
souvenir, your memory.
Yeah, you had a beautiful bag on display that I kept my eyes on it.
Yes.
I
And
loved it.
100% silk scarf.
I
And
know.
because we have this trademark, we have Florian as this new lifestyle branded
And most of the
product.
stuff is available online as well, because you got an online store, haven't you, as well?
Sorry, I couldn't hear the
I
question.
said,
Sorry.
I hope you still have it. You used to have, and I think you do, you have an online store as well, don't you?
Yeah, I mean, yes, on the www.fefflorian.com, we have the e-commerce, so you can take a look there, and it's a joy. I mean, you go from the tea, you can buy tea and coffee and silk scarf or artist souvenir. You know that in the Senato Room in 1893. Of the town, Riccardo Salvatico used to meet there with his friend. Now,
Hello, you're gone. I lost you.
happening in town, but also projects. They had the idea.
Anarita, we lost
Yeah.
you for a second. I need you to
I'm
stay
sorry.
still because I literally lost you from when you start talking about Salvatico.
I stand still. Okay, sorry. And,
So if you
you
can
know,
go
and
back to
no.
when you were saying that Salvatico used to meet in the rooms there.
Yes. Yeah. I'm thinking about this special moment. You know, things happen at the Florian, and when you are part of the history, when you're in the history, you don't realize how important moment can be. So I'm taking you back to 1893 when Riccardo Salvatico used to meet at the Café Florian with his friends, artist, intellectual, and they just, at the chat, they were chatting about a future project to have an exhibition in town, but in different buildings, so diffused in town. And that was 1893. In 1895, the Biennale of
Nale was
Venice
born.
was born. And the
Wow.
idea, they had it at Café Florian. And this
Wow.
is, part of the important
Wow.
moment. And we were talking about Biennale art, and nowadays Café Florian is part of the contemporary art
Yes,
scenery,
you
I
always
would
have it
say.
all through every year you have exhibitions within the walls, don't
Yes.
you?
Yeah, so I mean, we call an artist, and usually is free to interpret a room. It's not just a showcase for an artist. It happened. I mean, we had many artists showing, for example, for the glass week, we have a glass master, or maestro del vetro. He can exhibit his object of art. Otherwise, we have an artist in reinterpreting the Sala del Cinese, for example. So they are free to interpret, sorry if I repeat the same word, to interpret, to create a new room in the historical room. We had this beautiful exhibition by Matteo Pugliese, The Spirit, The Ghost of Florian, The Spirit of Florian. He had this big face coming out of the wall in the Chinaman room. So, and again, every exhibition, it's an immersion. And so Café Florian is part of the contemporary art scenery in town. This is a very important link we have with the art.
Do you also do it for the architecture biennale or just for the art?
Yes,
Oh, okay. So
we
we
do that.
are about to open soon. Oh, actually, by the time this episode comes out, the biennale would have been open.
Absolutely, yes.
Have we got can you give us a little hint preview? Because by the time this episode goes out, it will be out anyway. So
Monica, I didn't hear you. So about
I
the
yeah, I was
Biennale, which is opening?
yes, I was
Absolutely.
saying by the time this episode goes out, the Biennale will
Ah.
be open. So can you tell us already what's gonna happen at the Florian?
No.
Oops. Okay, sorry guys. You need to go to you need to travel here to find out. Oh, that was such a letdown.
Sorry,
She
sorry.
just killed
No,
me.
no,
She
but there
just
is.
killed me.
And we're thinking, So we have a work in progress, of course.
Okay.
But I was actually, yes, we have the UNI linked to the Architectural Biennale,
mm-hmm.
and then the Temporanea,
mm-hmm.
which is the other thread of contemporary art.
Okay.
And we are going to publish on the website
soon.
All the exhibition we have, because
oh,
it's
that's good.
A huge, a very paragraph, chapter of Florian history, really. Now, on the website, you can find the blog news at Eventi to be updated, and
okay.
also the history. And of course, we were talking about the branded
mm-hmm.
items.
I've got one last question for you, but this is for
yeah.
you.
Me
For you
personally.
As an Arita, what was the most gratifying point of your career at the Florian, working for them?
Personally or professionally, both?
Either or both.
Okay. I have many moments. So
okay.
Let's say this feeling of being part of, well,
history.
Special moment. Yes, absolutely. And then, you know, you're working, it happens to be there, Clint Eastwood, and then yeah, wow, it's amazing. You know, it can
uh-huh.
happen. So yeah, it's quite memorable for me meeting
uh-huh.
these people, and to me it was a unique chance, you know, to work there. And then personally, because I started there as a shop assistant, and then became the retail.
Okay, how long have you been there?
11 years.
Oh, la la. Okay. All right. Okay. Oh,
yeah.
You're part of the furnitures now.
Yes. I feel like I have 300 years, you know, I feel like that.
No, but it's always good. Oh,
no.
By the way, how hard, this is a question that just popped by my mind now. During the pandemic, how hard was it? Because I came and I did an interview. I think it was, was 28, towards the end of 2018. Maybe January 2019 or something like that. I mean, it was right to just before the
mm-hmm.
No, actually, I think it was the beginning of 2019, and then there was the floods and then the pandemic. So the floods didn't help, of course. What about the pandemic? How was
at
it?
That time, I was at that time the executive manager at
okay.
Florian, so it was a big moment professionally for me. And
of
then
course.
The pandemic happened.
Uh-huh.
And we used to go and visit Open Eat sometime. You know, Cafe Florian hasn't been closed during the World Wars.
Okay.
So it was quite impressive to see Cafe Florian closed. When I used to go and check for the, you know, check that the electrical system was right and so on. There was a loud silence,
yes.
And I noticed that some Venetian used to go there and sit outside, even though the cafe was closed, because again, like we said at the beginning of this conversation, it's part of a right, a daily,
of course,
right. It's part of the lifestyle in Venice.
Uh-huh.
And for the 300 years anniversary, we were closed. And incredibly, we gathered all the colleagues and some Venetians just arrived from different points in the square. It was prohibited. We were not allowed to go around. But
of course.
Everybody felt to go in San Marco Square, just facing the closed
of
doors
course.
And wish the place
of
happy
course.
Birthday, you know.
Yeah.
After 3 centuries, it was very sad for the humanity, and it was very tough for the business itself and for the. But that helped to feel like a family. I mean, we have a tough work in summer, for example. It's quite tiring because you have people every day, every time, and could be, you know, working is always difficult, even if you're in such a beautiful place. But the magic of Florian is that you feel part of the family. And like in an ordinary family, you can quarrel with your sister, with your parents, and then it's solved, and then there is a sunny day, and everything
yeah.
is all right.
Yeah.
And the pandemic, like for the rest of humanity, helped to feel, to make a stronger, you know, relationship and help each other. We were in touch every day, and so tough. But here we are again.
I know. And always busy, because whatever I pass now is always packed. I mean, I got to say, though, talking about one last thing, talking about experiences, I got to say my best experience at Florian, it has nothing to do with, I mean, I've come for many events, I've come for drinks, whatever. But actually, I remember taking a couple of clients of mine that were blind.
Wow.
We were going around Venice, and you know, it's not easy to explain Venice to blind people, of course. So I was trying to get them to have a very tactile experience, you know. And I remember we walked by without any warning. We walked by the Florian, and I thought by myself, oh, I wonder if they're gonna let me in to touch things. And I remember, maybe it was you. I don't know if it was you. Maybe, because it was 10 years. It must have been 10 years ago. Yeah. I walk in, I remember, and I cannot remember who I spoken to the person. And I said, look, I got these two blind people. We don't really, sorry, we're not going to sit down or have a drink and stuff because we're in a rush. But is any chance?
I was the one.
It was you, was he?
I think so.
Oh, okay. Thank
wow.
you. You made those people. Okay, so let me finish the story so people understand. And I remember you very kindly, you could have just easily said to me, no, look, if you're not going to buy anything, walk away. Instead, you said to me, you actually took us to the last room. There was nobody there. You said, take your time and touch whatever you want. And it was the best. My people were so happy. They were just so happy, because it made that totally different. And what's interesting is that you said that, but when I asked the same thing at the museum, they said no. Can you believe it? So thank
I
you
can't.
Thank you. I cannot believe it was you.
Thank you. I think I remember this. I mean, I remember this, of course, and but that was a long time ago.
Yeah, it was.
I think it's important to share the emotion of being inside. And I know somebody can think, it's why should I pay this money for just one coffee? The point is that
you're
the
not paying for the coffee, exactly.
No. And then again, you see this very elegant waiter, and you think, wow, they are going to be snob. But suddenly, when you go in, you discover there is a very welcoming stuff.
Oh my god, I walk in and now it says, oh, nice to see you back, and it's like,
yeah,
I haven't been in a year and you still remember me, and it feels great. It really feels great. Anna Rita, what can I say? This was a wonderful chat, and I'm pretty sure that everybody listening now is ready to book a ticket and come over to Venice just to come and have a coffee or a hot chocolate. But by the way, so cold at the moment, we're still drinking our chocolate.
Yes.
I'm pretty sure.
Yes.
Oh my god. So let's remind people where they can find you on the website and where they can find you on social media, please.
Okay, so we are on the www.caffefloriano.com.
Okay.
And then Instagram and Facebook.
With Caffè
Florian 1720.
Perfetto. Anna Rita, it was so nice talking to you, and I cannot believe it was you. Well, life.
I think so. Yeah. I remember this moment, but we have so many anecdotes and facts, you know. I should write a book about
it. I know. Never mind the recipe book, the by the way, I got and I love. You should definitely write a book about all the famous people and the interesting stories and underdogs that happened at the Florian, because you must have, in 300 years, you must have tons.
So
I
many.
Mean, three
Monica,
volumes
by the
or
way.
Something.
There is a new comic strip about the Florian.
Yes, I know.
Yeah,
I saw it. It's
interested.
Beautiful. I loved it. I think it's really
Valerio
beautiful.
Held, yeah. It's very interesting. So.
Yeah, I love it because you got so many things going. I mean, I definitely think it is a rebirth of a new generation and a new era for Caffè Florian, I think.
Thank you. Come and visit me then.
Oh, yeah, definitely.
I mean,
definitely. Well,
come and visit. We'll have to meet.
Okay, so
I'm waiting for you.
I can say previews on my part. So I'm actually organizing a new tour, and here, people out there, Café Florian is involved. I cannot tell you more, but watch this space. Stay tuned, and you soon find out.
So we
Anarita,
wait for you.
oh yeah, definitely coming. Anarita, it was a pleasure talking to you. Thank you so much. Say hi to everybody, and hope to have you back maybe later on to talk about some more Café Florian, maybe
Yes.
in the next season. Ciao, ciao.
Let's keep in touch. Bye.
Thank you so much, Anarita, for the lovely chat. You can find Anarita at www.cafeflorian.com and on all social medias as at Café Florian. Thank you again for listening. Venice Talks podcast is a production of Sentire Media, created, produced, and hosted by me, Monica Cesarato. Follow Venice Talks wherever you get your podcast, and if you want to book a food tour or a cooking experience with me, you can find me over at www.monicacesarato.com and on all social medias with the handle at Monica Cesarato, where you can follow my adventures around Venice. And don't forget, if you love this episode, please rate it and leave a review. It's very much appreciated.
Sentire Media.
Hey, podcast producers and show hosts. Do you want to join a podcast network that celebrates all things Italian? At Sentire Media, we understand the allure of Italy and its unique culture. Our devoted team of hosts and producers are all driven by their shared passion for Italy. And we work tirelessly to create the best lifestyle podcasts and content that will whisk you away to the very heart of Italy. With us, you can savor the mouth-watering flavors, get lost in the stories from the past, break down the cultural barriers, and truly immerse yourself in the vibrant traditions of this intoxicating country. If you have a great podcast idea or are already in production and would like to join Sentire Media, head over to sentiremedia.com, that's sentiremedia.com, and find out how to submit your show.